Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Parents do a lot of searching. In fact, my wife and I, over the course of the last 6 years, have done more searching than I care to remember. Why? Because kids are really good at misplacing their stuff. Right? Each of my children has a water bottle, and every day before we sit down to eat dinner, we tell them, go find your water bottle and bring it to the table, only to find that 10 minutes later, they couldn't find it. And so it happens, but then I go searching. Same thing happens, right? Kids wake up in the morning, and what do they want? Well, where is that toy I was playing with last night? I can't seem to find it. And, you know, most of the time, it's fine. You'll find it later, no big deal. But occasionally, I'll help them search for it. We're getting ready to go to church or to the grocery store or any other such place, and we go, well, get your shoes on. Lo and behold, they can find one shoe, but not the other. And so guess who goes searching? The truth is that I'm sure you can all relate. You know, even if it's not for kids, we've all lost something before. Something that we need to find. And the truth is that if it's valuable, the search will be more frantic or it will last longer than if it was something that was not valuable. Right? I've dropped pennies in my car in the crack in the seat. I don't spend a lot of time to try to find that penny because it's only a penny. But if I open my door here in Chestnut, in between these two churches, and the wind's blowing, and, you know, some of my sermon or some important papers go blowing out the car door, you can be certain I'm going to be running close to this field to try to get them back. Because they're more valuable than a penny. We have this parable before us today. In fact, two parables about searching for lost things. The first one sheep lost out of 100. The lost sheep is a sinner who needs repentance, and the owner of the sheep who goes searching is Jesus. Lost coin, 1 coin out of 10. The person who is the lost coin is a sinner who needs repentance, and the woman who literally turns her house upside down to find it is Jesus. The parable is really easy to understand. But why does Jesus tell the parable? Why does he need to share these words with people? It's certainly not for the sake of the tax collectors. It's not for the sake of the sinners. Why? Because they're already gathering to hear Jesus' words. They already understand the importance of Jesus' words. They're not the lost thing. They're part of the 99 who has already repented and become part of the flock. They're those 9 coins that are left in the coin purse yet. No, Jesus tells the parable for the sake of the Pharisees. Because he wants them to know that they are valuable to him. Because he wants them to be those sinners who repent and join the fold. Because Jesus seeks them out. But the Pharisees have 2 problems. First, they think they can earn salvation. There was an old sort of Jewish belief that if the Pharisees could keep the law for 2 consecutive Sabbath days, the Messiah would come again. And so they set themselves to accomplish it, right? We have to do everything perfectly. We have to avoid all of the unclean things. We have to associate with all the clean stuff. Make sure to follow the law 100%. But it led them to this idea that they could do something for their own salvation. Big problem. The second problem is that they start to assign value to other people. And really, these two things go hand in hand. Because if I'm supposed to do something great, well, it means I have to set a bar. And anybody who fails to jump over the bar that I set, well, it means I am better than them. And so they assign value to all these people who are less holy than they are, and they aren't quite as worthy. But the problem is that it's not just a problem for the Pharisees. It's a problem for us. In all honesty, we want to earn our salvation. We really do. I mean, and don't get me wrong, we're fine saying Jesus is my Savior. We're fine confessing our sins, and it's, you know, we need Jesus, otherwise we don't go to heaven. But so often in our mind, the mentality is that, well, I'll do my best, and then Jesus can do the rest. Well, as long as I'm good, then Jesus doesn't have to fill those spots. He can just fill in all the spots where I'm bad. All the spots where I failed. But all those successful parts, well, I don't need Jesus for those parts. It's not true. You might remember the third article in the Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. You can do nothing. Literally, nothing good. Sin runs deep, and it runs all the way into your heart. So without Jesus doing everything, you do nothing good, period. Good luck earning your salvation on that. It doesn't work. There's not a certain amount of the Bible we have to know. There's not a certain amount of good works we have to perform. There's not a certain amount of anything that we need to do in order to be worthy of salvation, or in order to prove that we're somehow in this faithfulness thing. It's Jesus alone. It's what he does. It's because he has been perfect where we cannot be. It's because he has pronounced that you are forgiven. That's what gives you salvation. His righteousness, not your own. And that's why we're here. Isn't it? We come here because this is how we make good use of Jesus' gift for us. You want to make good use of your Savior? You want to make good use of the cross? We just heard it proclaimed as the scriptures were read. We're hearing it proclaimed in a sermon now. We come here, we remember our baptism, we feast on Jesus' body and blood, and all of the gifts that he has for us come pouring down. When we come to church on Sunday, it's a confession that I can't do it on my own. Not even close. But that I need the Lord Jesus to do everything for me. Sunday morning's about relying on God 100%. Same thing goes for Bible study. Why do we go to Bible study? Because we need more of God's gifts. We recognize how unequipped we are to live any kind of good life, how unequipped we are to reach salvation at all, and we go, I want more Jesus. I need more Jesus. And so we put ourselves in the hearing of God's word as often as we can. It's why even not on Sunday morning we open our Bibles. It's a confession that we need God's word. And God's more than happy to give it. But it doesn't free us from the second problem. See, even if we do show up to church on Sunday and go to Bible study and have a daily devotion, for whatever reason, we still like to assign value to people. Because I'm a Christian. I've done everything a Christian should do. And so we start to look down on other people. Maybe it's just, you know, I hope it's nobody, you know, in the church, but let's be honest, it might be. But think about like that one person who annoys you. And that one person where every time they talk to you, you're just like, how do I get out of this conversation? You're passing a judgment call. You're condemning that person as lesser than you. And not only those people, but think about all the other people we look down on in this life. Druggies, alcoholics, prostitutes. 9/11 was this week, right? Terrorists. I mean, we need to condemn the sin, certainly, but do we put our nose in the air and start to think that somehow we are better than these people? They're just as big as sinners as we are. The difference is that we're able to hide our sin a whole lot better. We might be able to restrain it from our hands doing it or our mouths speaking it, but we can never restrain the sin that's in our mind. It pops up without our desire because sin runs deep. What value does Jesus assign? Well, it's said that value is only based on how much someone's willing to pay for it. You know, if someone were standing here and said, I'll write you a $1 million check, but I'm leaving in 30 seconds. And what if I have the only pen in the room? What's that pen worth to you? Would you give me 10 bucks for that pen? Would you give me 50 bucks for a pen? Would you give me $100,000 for a pen? What does Jesus pay for someone who seems so worthless as you and me? What does he pay for sinners like you and me? He pays with his blood. He pays with his life. He shows us how much he values the people of this world. You are more valuable to Jesus than his own life is. You are more valuable to Jesus than anything else in all of this creation. He gives it all away so that he can have you, a lost thing, a sinner, someone who can't even find themselves. And so Jesus goes to great lengths to find the lost sinner. That way we might repent and believe in the forgiveness that he has given to us. That way we might see what he does for us on the cross and say, yes, that is my Savior. My friends, so often in our lives, we act and we think just like the Pharisees. But Jesus shows us something better. And it's that he has earned salvation for us. Because he loves us. He loves you. And because he knows how valuable you are to him. So today and always, let us rejoice. Not that we found ourselves, but that Jesus found us. Through the word proclaimed in his death and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.